The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Jesus said, "I am the door." He also said, "I am the way." These are two of the seven I Am declarations that Jesus made about himself and which are written about in John's Gospel. Why did Jesus make two such similar statements? What is the difference between the door and the way? Hello there, welcome to Grace in Focus. So glad you've joined us today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We come to you from North Texas. You can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. We have many resources for you there, and you can find out about our regional conferences and about our bi-monthly magazine with a free subscription. Check us out at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Mike, I've got a question here. Actually, you've got the question from Matt, and it's an interesting one.
Yeah, Matt says, in the seven I Am statements, Jesus says he is the door and he is the way. These sound similar to me. Could you explain the differences and or similarities? Love your ministry. Thanks.
Okay. He says that I am the door in John chapter 10. Do you have those verses there?
Yeah, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And again in verse 9 in chapter 10, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture."
So John 10 is the Good Shepherd chapter. Jesus presents himself as the Good Shepherd. In this one, he uses one of the I Am statements, "I am the door." And in verse 7, isn't it, "I am the door of the sheep"?
Yes.
In verse 9, it's slightly more general, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." And the thief is Satan, and he doesn't come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. "I have come that they may have life." Notice that this verse, verse 10, explains that saved up in verse 9 must be talking about having everlasting life.
Right.
So it's not talking about some other kind of salvation.
Yeah.
So in John 10, verses 7 and 9, when Jesus says, "I am the door," he's saying, "I am the door to salvation." Mm-hmm. "I am the door to everlasting life."
Yeah.
Leon Morris, in his commentary on John, suggests that, especially in verse 9, which is a more general statement, the door here is to salvation. However, it's a little different in John 14:6. That's where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." This is one I Am statement, but with three different parts of it.
Yeah.
He points out that as the way, he is the way to the Father. And although if you are in relationship with the Father, you do have everlasting life, this verse isn't really emphasizing life and salvation. It's emphasizing the relationship with the Father. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So that it's the way to the Father. Now, mm-hmm. It's also, of course, the way to life.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the way to life. So
right.
In that sense, what Matt's asking about is correct, that there is some commonality here. But I think there's more of an emphasis here on the Father than you don't have in the John 10 passage, which is really on salvation and life.
The door is the door to salvation, but you're saying the way in John 14 is the way to God the Father.
I think so. Now, of course, he does say the truth, and on the truth there, it's everything Jesus says is true. In fact, he's the embodiment of truth. In fact, mm-hmm. some commentators say that the way and the truth and the life, all three are manifestations of the Father. Because the Father is true, and the Father is life, and in some sense, the Father is the way. But the problem with that view is the Father isn't the way to the Father. Because he says, he ends by saying, "No one comes to the Father but by me."
Yeah.
And of course, in a Jewish context, they were thinking in terms of God. They weren't thinking in terms of a Trinity. But they needed to recognize that there's no way to the Father
yeah.
apart from Christ. He doesn't say, I am a door.
Yeah.
He says, I am the door.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, I am a way.
Yeah.
He says, I am the way. And Morris, in his commentary, points out that this is exclusive.
Yeah.
He's claiming to be the way, the door.
The door. So both the way to the Father and the door to everlasting life, there's one way. It's Jesus.
Right. In fact, we used to have these stickers on our cars when I came to faith in September of 72, and we'd have these one-way stickers on. And we'd see somebody else with a one-way sticker, and we'd stick our finger up and do the one-way. Yes, there is only one way, and his name is Jesus. And we live in a postmodern world where there are actually people who believe that they have everlasting life by faith in Jesus, and yet they think that other people have everlasting life by being good Buddhists or Hindus or Muslims or maybe by work salvation or some other method.
Yeah.
And that's not true. It's only through Christ and only through faith in Christ.
Yeah.
There's no other way. You can't say, well, I'm going to make it by faith plus works.
Yeah, and only by believing in Christ for everlasting life.
Exactly.
And not believing any truth about Jesus, believing his specific promise of everlasting life to everyone who believes in him for it.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
There are lots and lots of people in the world, even outside of Christianity, who believe that Jesus lived a marvelous life, that Jesus was a man of God, that Jesus did miracles, Jesus died on the cross. Many even believe he rose bodily from the dead. But believing that they have eternal life by faith in him is something that is harder to find, because a lot of people, for whatever reason, believe in some form of work salvation.
Yeah, and I guess all three key elements, there's only one. It's only by believing. It's only by believing in Jesus, and not just any Jesus, is Jesus of the New Testament.
Right.
And it's only by believing in him for everlasting life.
I just did a blog on this, and I said, what are the three essential words in evangelism? And I asked people to say, okay, before you read on in the blog, I want you to go ahead and put down what you think. And I also did a video on this. One of the people commenting on the video, when they got down to see my answer, they said, I had those three words before you got to it. It's believe, it's Jesus, and it's life.
Right.
Or believe, Jesus, salvation. And it has to be life everlasting or irrevocable salvation. It's not Jesus has given me some kind of temporary salvation or he's given me some kind of probationary life.
Yeah.
And if I'm good, I'm going to keep it. No, it's permanent.
Right.
I appreciate your question, Matt, and I think it's important to recognize that all of these I am statements in John's gospel are unique in the sense that in all the other religions of the world, people are pointing to something else as the way, something else as the path. Jesus himself says he is the way. He is the path.
Yeah.
There is no other. He's calling for faith in himself, and that's unique. Only Jesus can do this. That's why Morris is right. He is exclusive.
Yeah, and he proved it by dying on the cross and rising from the grave.
Only he has died for us. Only he has risen from the dead for us. Yeah. And even if somebody else did think they were dying for mankind, their death wouldn't be efficacious because they're not sinless.
Right.
You remember in the Old Testament sacrifices, they had to be unblemished lambs or unblemished goats or oxen. They foreshadowed the coming of Messiah. Messiah had to be unblemished, spotless, blameless. He had to be sinless.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus had no sin, knew no sin, but he bore our sins on the cross.
Yeah.
And only a sinless, blameless, unblemished sacrifice could do that. So Jesus is the one who has given us this life by faith, not by works.
Very good.
All right. Well, I think we have one other question we could tail here at the end of this.
Revelation 2:11, Jacob asks, how do we answer this verse from a free grace perspective? It seems to be saying that those who overcome will not be hurt by the second death. That makes it sound like you must overcome to avoid eternal condemnation. Yet earlier in the talk, he mentions giving them the crown of life, which is a reward, not salvation. So what is the proper interpretation of this?
Good question. I think Jacob is going a long way to doing the right thing. He's looking elsewhere within the letter, and he's saying, look, it's a free gift. He's looking within all seven letters, you know, to see that this is a gift. Or you can go to the Gospel of John to see this is a gift. Or you can look at Revelation 22:17, receive the water of life freely. So how do we harmonize this? You and I were talking earlier, and you used the expression litotes. And I think it's correct that this is an understatement. In other words, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, the Greek word for the one who is victorious, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. It's possible, of course, we're not sure what the second death is here. The term second death occurs later on in Revelation chapter 20.
Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20:14.
So if that's what is meant in chapter 2 and verse 11, which is most likely, then the overcomer is not going to have that experience. Well, of course, no believer is going to have that experience. Mm-hmm. So this would be an understatement to say this believer is going to have a superlative experience. They're going to have the treasure in the kingdom. They're going to rule and reign with Christ. They're going to have abundant life. But the other possibility is this could be talking about something else when he talks about second death, mm-hmm. although he does say the second death. So it's possible this could be something else we're not to understand as Revelation 20:14. But I would take it most likely it is that, and this is litotes, and it's just understatement.
Okay, yeah, and we use this understatement all the time. Let's say, for example, you're the world record holder in the marathon, and you're entering this local race.
Yeah.
I might say, surely you're not going to finish last.
Right.
What I'm really saying is,
surely
you're
going to
blow these
win.
Guys away.
Right.
They're amateurs, and you're a professional world record holder.
Yeah, exactly. We do that all the time. So that's the way I would understand it. But I like what Jacob's doing, is saying, let's look at other scripture, because it's not saying we've got to be persevering believers in order to get into the kingdom,
yeah.
in order to avoid eternal condemnation. That's an impossible interpretation.
Yeah, you can't use these unclear passages to mess up your interpretations of clear passages.
All right, well, thanks, everybody, and keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, how does salvation work in the tribulation period? Is it still by faith alone? Hope you'll join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.